Oh. Amen. Brother Morris, nice to meet you all. Been celebrating around here all month. Amen. 75 years. That is tremendous.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And as I understand it, we're also celebrating 20 years. Amen. Brother Morris. And I'm going to be very honest with you, I just got my stuff turned around a little bit. If I did, we'll hang on, we'll go eat in a minute. Amen. I am between you and dinner, and I know that. But I'm usually between you and dinner every time I come here. Amen. Whether it's dinner here or at the restaurant or at home, I'm between you and dinner. Amen. So I'm not really too bent out of shape about that. But I am going to be honest with you, I am preaching. I'm confident in my assignment, but it'll be different. Amen. Because I'm just focusing on the way you'll just see where we're going. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to take your attention to James chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 17. While we're going there, thank you so much, Mrs. Morris, for the privilege of being here again this year. Amen. And I don't know how many years it's been. Amen. It's been a couple now. And I appreciate it. It's not been 20, and I know it's not been 75. So I'm sure of those. But anyway, amen. And it is a privilege here. My wife sends her love and greetings. We are dealing with complications that happen at this particular stage where we're at right now. And it's just, for those of you who don't know, my wife has been diagnosed with a neurologic disease that is extremely rare. They say that if you take ALS and MS and put them together, throw Parkinson's on top, that's what she has. So it creates situations. We've had a new situation crop up. And so I seem like I'm stumbling around a little bit. I did not get her settled down until after 4 o'clock this morning. And I had to get up at 6 to get on the road to be here. So if the anointing doesn't help us, we're all in trouble. How many believe the anointing will help us a little bit?
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift, everybody say good gift.
Amen.
Every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to preach to you for the next, I don't know if it's preaching, teaching, speaking to you. My assignment for the next few moments is simply this: God's great gift to the church. Amen. God's great gift to the church. You all know it already, but you have absolutely a tremendous pastor, Brother Morris, amen, and his family, amen. Somebody start wondering if you should clap or not. Yes, you should.
Amen.
And sometimes I'm tempted to say, y'all just don't know what you've got here, but obviously you do because you drove past 5 other churches to get here. Amen. So that's a pretty good sign that you know what you've got here. Amen. So I'm kind of, like I said, between you and dinner. What is it about Pentecostals and dinner? I don't know. We got to eat. Amen. Kind of reminds me of that kid that the teacher had a class, and she asked all of her students to bring something that was a a symbol of their religious faith to the church and or to the class for show and tell. And so Benjamin came in. He brought his Star of David, and he said, "I'm Jewish, and this is a Star of David." And then in comes Maria, and she said, "Well, I'm Catholic, and this is a rosary." And then comes Tom, and he said, "I'm Pentecostal. This is a casserole dish." So, we are in October. How many know what October is? Yes. Got some of you looking at me like you're not sure. October is Italian History Month. That wasn't what you was thinking, was it? It's National Domestic Prevention Month. Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah.
And my personal favorite, it's National ADHD Month. It really is. You can look it up. I had ADHD before they had a name. I had ADHD when it was just being a bad kid. But it's also Pastor Appreciation Month. Amen. And I'm sure you have taken time already this month to honor him. And I know the dinner and all that that's going on. I want you to understand something. This is going to be my focus today, because this is just kind of where I felt the leading to go with it. It is right to honor pastors in general, and Brother and Sister Morris in particular. Amen. Amen. You're not going to scare me if you nod your head loud enough to hear it rattle. I promise you. You won't bother me in the least. Pastors hold a special place in God's order of things. And I think we need to understand that. I think we need to make sure that we keep that. When God established the pattern of government, He did not intend for there to be all of this civic government that we pay taxes to support. I thought I would have got a lot louder amen than that. Hey folks, we're just going to have a good time in here today. Amen. We're just going to spend a few minutes together. But when God intended spiritual authority to be the leadership for mankind, that was His plan. That was it. Man in his fallen nature demanded civic authority. So Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in the doctrine." How many of you know that this church is blessed with a pastor, amen, who labors in the word and in doctrine?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for our pastor. Amen. That will take time to study the word and learn the word and know the word, and then take time to help us. Amen. Not just hear the word, but how to apply the word. Amen. And so we are blessed in that. I'm going to tell you something, church. You cannot receive the full blessing of God that God has determined and destined for your life unless you know how to honor your pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I know your pastor's got to just sit back here and act like we're not even talking about him today. Amen. Sister Morris, you got it made. You got the back where nobody can look at you while this is going on. Amen. That worked out good for you. But I will tell you, the pastor does not know that this was the direction I was going. He just told me what was happening in this service today and the celebration that was going on. And that was really where I kind of came from. But Galatians chapter 6 says, "Let him who is taught the word." How many of you have taught the word when you come here?
Amen.
Well, the rest of y'all do it, just showing up for Sundays. How many of you have taught the word when you come here?
Yeah.
Amen. Let him, let her, let us who are taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, verse 7 is the verse that we're so familiar with, because it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. And whatever, for if he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We preach and teach and talk about that verse all the time. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. But I want you to understand something. We skip and we put it in context. It's not just talking about the things that we normally make it talk about, but it's talking about directly and how we take care of our pastor. I read it to you. Let him who is taught in the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And the Bible is very clear and gets us to understand that we need to understand that God has given us a pastor.
Amen.
Amen. When I talked to you, I gave you the title of this thing. I said, I'm going to talk about God's great gift to the church. Now, God's gift to the to you is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. How many are thankful God's filled you with His Spirit?
Amen.
Amen. How many know you cannot live out what God has for you without the Holy Ghost in operation in your life? You can't make it without the Holy Ghost, folks. It's more than just getting to heaven. It's getting through life. Amen. Without the Holy Ghost, the plan that God has for your life will never be fulfilled. But beyond that, not only did God give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, God gave this city the gift of a church. Amen. This city may not know it. It may not recognize it. It may not. But the greatest gift that God has put in this city is the apostolic church. A church that preaches truth. A church that teaches truth. Amen. A church that takes the Bible and opens up and says what the Word says and leaves it at that.
Amen.
That is God's gift to the city. But God has a gift for the church. And that gift is the pastor.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I pastored for 16 years, so and I've been in pastoral ministry for a lot longer than that. But I want you to say, pastoring is not for sissies. Pastoring is not easy. I had a friend, and I wish I could tell you this wasn't true, but it really is true. I have a friend who was pastoring, and he started a business. And his business became very successful to the point that he was literally coming to a place where he was literally making millions of dollars. And we were sitting at lunch, and he told me, he said, I think I'm going to have to quit pastoring because I can't pastor and take care of my business. I looked back at him and I said, Anthony, I think you should quit pastoring. Y'all quiet on me now. I think if a man is looking, trying to figure out whether he should run his business or pastor a church, he should quit pastoring the church and go run his business. Because this thing is not for the weak, it's not for the family. This is a calling from God that God gives it and puts in his place. And I want you to understand something. It's not easy to pastor a church. It's not just a matter of showing up on a couple of services and teaching a little bit of something and making it and taking up an offering and going home. There's a lot more to this, church.
Amen.
And you know, you got to think about something in all this. All of you have to deal with him. But he, yeah, y'all finished that one before I even got to it, didn't you? You have to deal with one man's humanity. One man has to deal with all of your humanity. And what shall we then say of his wife who has to deal with all of your humanity and his humanity. I say that because I want you to understand some pastoring is a team business. It's a team effort. It takes the two of them. Amen. And I know we look at Brother Morris, we see him as pastor of the church, but I think it doesn't take much to figure out that his bride, his wife, your pastor's wife, is just in so many ways co-equal in that responsibility and in that burden and in that work that goes on. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, if it's anything like my house was, she is probably more responsible because she keeps all of the schedules working. She keeps everybody where they need to be. Amen. When you have ADHD, if it hadn't been for my wife, my church would have been in trouble. Amen. But I tell you that that pastoring is not an easy thing. It requires some things out of a man to do that. Number one, it requires patience. I'm not going to get a whole lot of amens. It reminds me a little bit of the pastor having a church business meeting and they were talking about putting in some new chandeliers in the sanctuary and they were having this big meeting about it. And one old boy, he just stood up and he said, "Well, I want everybody in this house to know I'm against it." And the pastor said, "Well, okay, brother. Charlie, why are you again?" He said, "Well, I'm again it for three reasons. Number one, ain't nobody what can smell it. And if it's that fancy, we don't need it. Number two, ain't nobody what can play that thing if we did get one. But the real reason I'm again it is because if we're going to spend that much money, we need to get some lights in this building." So it requires a level of patience in order to pastor, but it also requires confidence.
Amen.
Amen. Johnny was standing there. The teacher said, "I want you all to paint a picture of something." And so she went around the room, and Sally was painting a picture of a tree, and Charlie was painting a picture of a car, and they were all painting. She came around, and there was little Johnny. He was just painting away, and she said, "Johnny, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm painting a picture of God." Teacher said, "Well, Johnny, nobody knows what God looks like." He said, "Well, then, well, when I get done." That's the level of confidence it takes to pastor a church. But not only does it take patience and confidence, it takes wisdom. I have a pastor friend. Some of y'all don't understand this better than others will, but I have a pastor friend when he went to the church, he was warned before he got there to watch out for Sister Mary Alice's pies. It wasn't that they tasted bad, it was that Sister Mary Alice had five long-haired cats.
Oh, no.
And so whatever it was that she cooked, her cats got involved in the work.
Oh, no.
And so it was nothing to cut into one of Sister Mary Alice's pies and find long cat hairs all throughout the pie. And so he'd already been warned about it. And in his wisdom, he went and he got him a trash can, and he got a piece of black construction paper and cut out a big circle, and he taped it to the bottom of the trash can. Sure enough, first pastor appreciation weekend that they had, here comes Sister Mary Alice with her famous apple pie. She brought it to him, and he said, "Oh, sis, this is great. I'm going to take it home with me." And so he took it home and walked in, and already knowing what he was dealing with, he just walked over and dropped it right in the trash can. Next week, He came back, Sister Mary Alice come in. Pastor, did you get my pie? He said, oh, Sister Mary Alice, I'm telling you, that pie hit the spot. So if your pastor ever, no, I'm just kidding. But I hear people talk about pastors, and I hear them say, well, we voted in a new pastor. I'm going to just tell you something, church. You can't vote in a pastor.
Right?
Now, you can vote in a preacher. You can vote in a business administrator. You can vote in an entertainer. But you can't vote in a pastor.
Right.
A pastor is something that God gives a church.
Right.
Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, he said, I will give you pastors. I will give them to you. Pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, he said, he gave some pastors. We need to understand that pastors are a gift from God.
Amen.
Amen. And if I understand that a pastor is a gift from God, then I understand that when God gives a gift, He expects a level of stewardship from me with the gifts that He gives.
Amen.
How many of you know that?
Amen.
Amen. God expects when He gives a gift that you and I will take care of it. That you and I will do what is necessary to make sure that it functions the way it needs to function, that it's taken care of. And the reason I say it, I'm not talking about finances in the house, although that is a part of it. That's not what I'm talking about. Our pastor will always be under more attack. His family will always be under more attack than anybody else in the church.
Right.
Amen. And we need to understand that and understand God gave me a pastor. I've got a duty to pray for them, to appreciate them, to honor them, to love them, to take care of them the very best that I can. Not just in October and not just on the last Sunday of the month when we're celebrating 20 years, but every day of the year. I have a responsibility to be a steward over the gifts that God has given me. Amen. So, the reason that I say that is because somebody says, okay, what do we give the pastor for pastor appreciation? The thing that is the greatest gift you can give your pastor is to live faithfully.
Amen.
In what he has taught you and what he has brought to your attention and to your knowledge. Amen. Look what Paul wrote. He said, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves for they watch for your souls as they must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. A reason that I bring that out is because we need to understand that He is not just up here. His responsibility doesn't stop once the word has gone forth. But there is coming a moment when pastor will stand before God for each and every one of you. And you will be responsible for the judgment in your life. But God is going to ask a very simple question, and that is, did you tell them what I told you to tell them?
Amen.
Did you teach them what I told you to teach them? Did you instruct them? Did you model before them? Did you live it before them? And when he stands there and with a clear conscience and a clean heart can stand there and before God and say, God, I told them. I taught them. If I can say it this way, God then is going to turn to you and say, okay, what did you do with what you knew? Why, when Paul was writing, he said, what is our hope?
our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even in the presence of our Lord? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Another place He said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. The greatest gift we can give our pastor is not a trip to the Cancun. It's not a cruise to the Bahamas. It's not. The greatest gift that we can give our pastor is to day by day live in the truth. Walk in the truth.
Amen.
Amen. So, in understanding all of that, I want to bring to your attention one more thing, and then I'm going to just kind of slip myself out of there. But Paul was writing to Timothy, and writing about the end times and the last days. Now, mind you, that when he's talking about this, he's talking about the world. But not only is he talking about the world, he's talking about his concern that what is in the world creeps into the church. And when I say church, I don't mean the building. I mean you and me, the people.
Amen.
He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous or stressful times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. I don't think it's hard to figure out that we in this day. He says, they will be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. He says they would always be learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He goes on and he says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And he says that because there's going to come a day when they will not endure. That same word is they will not tolerate. We live in the most intolerant, tolerant, great society that has ever been. Amen. We're told to tolerate everything except truth and the Word of God. Amen. He says that they will not endure or tolerate sound doctrine, but after their own lust they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn their ears away from truth and be turned into fables or myths. Folks, we have got a generation with the most messed up theology in the world. Amen. We've got a generation. And there's a danger because I see some of the stuff, some of the songs that are being produced by Christian artists are biblically inaccurate.
Yes. Come on.
And I watch churches get up, man, people in big crowds, and they're all excited and going with it. And the song is not even biblically correct. And it bothers me somewhat because so many unbiblical concepts. We live in a society that believes, oh, you shouldn't judge anybody. And yet the Bible says, judge with righteous judgment.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We've got a society now that wants to take one little scripture out, twist it around to satisfy their desire to follow after their own flesh and their own will and their own things. And in all of this, Paul is writing and teaching. And so he comes down and he says, now, here is the solution for this, because he's concerned that this is going to begin to creep into the church, because there is a danger if we're not careful that the attitudes and the mentalities that are in the world can begin to become a part of the church without us if we're not watching and if we're not careful. So he says, you know what? You've got a responsibility. In other words, you're a gatekeeper. In other words, you're the one that's got to watch over this. He's talking to Paul, Timothy is a pastor and is a young evangelist and preacher. He says, here is the solution. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and dead in His appearing, preach the word.
Amen.
Amen. Paul, what are you saying? I'm saying that the solution for all of these problems is not to just hang your head and cry. It's not to to just give up. How many sometimes feel like when you're looking around, you might as well just give up? Sometimes it seems like you're looking at the election. Well, what's the point? You're looking at things that are being voted on. What's the point? Because we might as well just give up. No. Paul was very clear about it. The solution is not to give up. It's not to quit. He said, hey, you got to take care of the church. You got to take care of the household of faith. And the way that you do it is preach the word.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God gave the church a pastor who will get in this pulpit and preach the word. It might not be popular, but he'll preach the word. It may not be what early old pastor here, but he'll preach the word. It might not be your candy stick, but he'll preach the word and lay it out like it is. I don't know about you, but I need my soul to be saved. And God has given me a gift. He's given me a pastor who will the word.
Amen.
Brother Morris, if there's any admonition for you in this house today, it is simply this. Don't stop preaching the word. We need the word. In a generation where the pulpits are being filled with entertainers, we need a pastor who will preach the word. Amen. Says all scripture, the word, is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Why? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that the woman of God, that the young person of God, that the child of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all work, good works.
Amen.
Why do I need a pastor? I need a pastor because I need somebody. I am so tired of this mentality. It's going on. I said, oh, I don't need the church and I don't need a preacher. I can just find God by myself. I'm going to just tell you something. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
Say it.
Why would God give you something that you don't need? Amen. Well, what about the guy that lives out in the... We're pulling up ignorant examples. I can tell you, I have said this often, I am not only responsible for the word that is preached to me, but I am also responsible for the word that I chose not to have preached to me.
Amen.
It's quiet on me right now. We'll go get dinner in a minute. Says, well, I just don't know. I got a game today, or I got the kids got this, or we got that, so we need to take care of this, we're going to do that. Listen, what you're saying is, God, I know you gave me a gift to help me get through this life and get me instructed and get me where I need to be, but what I want to do is more important than your gift.
All right.
I feel like I preach in the choir because most of y'all are here on Sunday, so I'm not worried about that. And I'm not here enough to know who's a guest and who's not a guest, so I'm not preaching at anybody in particular. But I'm just telling you something. God has given us the gift of a pastor. God has not only given us a church body to be a part of, but he's given us a gift of a pastor to lead and to direct and to guide us. And there needs to not be one day in my prayer that I don't say, God, Lord, I thank you for my pastor, God. I thank you because he leads us, God. I thank you because he preaches, God. I thank you, Lord God.
Come on.
Now, when he told him to preach the word, I want you to notice something. He said, be ready in season, out of season. Convict. Rebuke. Oh, no. God didn't really mean that part. Exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. What I do not know, do not see, is that he said entertain. We live in a generation of church people who are just looking for somebody to give them a Sunday morning entertainment. Make them feel good, make them feel nice, and go home. That's why they can sit at home and let me time out. I'm not against live streaming. That's not my point when I'm saying this. My wife is sitting at home right now, and she is literally going to our services every week. Not this one, but our home church services. Every week, and she does it from live stream. There is a need for that. That's not my point. But if you have the ability to get yourself to the house of God, I'm going to tell you something. You need to do it because we need to understand. I've got to be where my pastor can preach to me. Not only because I'm not interested in being entertained. I'm interested in getting to heaven. I'm interested in getting my family from here to where God wants us to be. That's what my plan is. And I need to understand. It's amazing how much people will do to have their kids in every sporting event. I've got a... I've got a niece. She's got two kids in soccer and one in cheer team. They cannot get anywhere because their entire life is consumed with just going in it. But you know what? Come church time, well, we can't get to church. We're so tired. We're so busy. Anytime we're too tired, anytime we've got so much stuff in our life that it pulls us out of the house of God, we need to recognize, and I'm not saying that it's wrong to do sports, but what I'm saying is anything that gets between me and hearing from the man of God that God has put in my life, that thing becomes a distraction, it becomes a hindrance, it becomes a weight, and if we're not careful, it will become a sin. Way too comfortable right now. Don't worry. We're going to eat and I'm going to go to the road and come back next week and everything will be normal. But it concerns me because any time that we don't understand this, when we don't understand that God put a man of God in our lives to give us reproof, to give us correction, to say things that may not be what we want to hear, and it may not be the things that we want, but it's the right things from God. If we don't understand that, then we run the danger of just looking for Christian entertainment on a Sunday. Just something to scratch our back, feel like we've been to church.
Right.
Something to just get a little goosebumps and a few heebie-jeebies in the Lord and go home and think everything's all right. And I thank God that He's put in my life. Now, I want to just tell you something just so you understand. In case anybody said anything, well, it's easy for you to say. You just travel all over the United States preaching. You know, I have a pastor. As a matter of fact, I have a pastor and I have three other pastors who are my accountability partners. I'm telling you this so you don't understand. I believe what I'm preaching. These three men call me every week. We talk every week. They ask me, at any given time, they can call me and ask me hard questions. I'm just going to tell you this. Two of these men get a report every Saturday of where my phone's been, where my internet's been, where my laptop's been, where my iPad's been. They know everything about it. Why? Because I need accountability in my life. I know my flesh, and my flesh will look for ways to just skirt around and ignore things and just kind of push things off. But God has allowed me to have men in my life. And these three men, if any one of them at any time have a concern, they will call my pastor. They will express it. If my pastor will then call me and talk to me about it. If he doesn't get the answers he's looking for, He will say, Whitman, I think you need to come home and spend a few weeks on the pew here. And guess what? Whitman doesn't know how he's going to make the next week's bills, but he's going home and sitting on the pew. Because there's no point in me having a gift from God and then misusing it, mistreating it, and abusing it. If God is good enough to give me a pastor, if God is good enough to give me somebody that will watch over my soul and watch over me, I'm not silly. I know that I don't see things the way... You see things real good for other people, but you don't see them good for your own self. We're good at seeing everything that, oh, brother, that's just danger. Brother, don't you see what you're doing? Brother, you know, we're good about that. And completely miss in our own lives. Because we'll justify it. Well, what we really meant was our intent. We'll live by what we intended and not by what we did. And we'll justify everything and make excuses. Why? Because our flesh likes to run its own course. But God looked down at the church and he said, look, I know you're going to have a tendency sometimes to just try to do your own thing and go your own direction. So I'm going to give you a gift that will help you. I'm going to give you a pastor. He may not preach everything you want to hear preach. You may not like the things that he says. You may feel like he was just kind of singling you out. But let me tell you something. When I feel like he's singling me out, I say, Holy Ghost, thank you for knowing enough about me to know that I needed to be pushed back a little bit. I need to be angled just a little bit this way. Amen. We need to be careful that we don't move the pastor from the role of shepherd and leader to the role of entertainer. I have one last illustration I want to share. And then I'm going to wrap up here. How many of you understand that one of the ways or explanations that God gives, one of the patterns that God gives for pastors, is that he is a shepherd? The Bible makes it clear that we are sheep and that he is the shepherd. Of course, Christ being the great shepherd, but he is the under-shepherd. He is the caregiver. So Jesus talking in John chapter 10, in verse 7, he makes a statement. He says, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now it's an interesting expression when he says that. Because when he says that, he does not say, I am the doorway to the sheep. He has spent time talking about the sheep and how they follow him and they hear his voice. And so now he says, but I want you to understand something. And he giving himself as the great example and an example for what our pastor needs to be. He says, I am the door of the sheep. So I looked this up and started studying this, trying to figure out why didn't he say I'm the doorway to the sheepfold? He didn't say that. He said, I am the door of the sheep. Because back in those days when the shepherd would come in at night, they would bring all the sheep and they would come to where the sheepfold was, and there was a small opening there in the thing, and they would lay their staff down and start sheep coming in, and the sheep would come jump over the staff, and in that way they could get, and they would stand there and they would count the sheep coming in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 98, 99. Something missing. He'd go.
Start all over.
Count all of me. Come up with 99. I say, hey, Mark, I'm getting 99. How many are you getting? Mark says, I got 99. He says, we're missing one. And so he would leave the sheep there and he would go out. You know the story. He would look until he found the one sheep. How many of you know you were the one sheep that was lost and he came looking for you? to you. I'm glad he wasn't content to look down here and say, well, there's all this stuff. People in that house, they got most of the seats full. That's all right. But he said, no. I'm going after the one that's still lost. I'm going after the one that still needs me. I tell you, church, I'm thankful for a God who's not satisfied with 99, but I'm thankful God gave us a shepherd that went out and said, hey, there's got to be one more out there. I got to go get him. Finally, he finds that sheep and he brings that sheep to the fold. All the sheep are in safe. Give me just a second, because this will be better if I illustrate this. He's brought all the sheep in and he has them on the inside. And then when everything is situated, the shepherd would sit himself down in the middle of that opening. And he would lay his back on one side and his rod across the other side. And for the remainder of the night, the shepherd would stay in that little hole that all the sheep had come through. He was there for two reasons. Number one, to make sure that what was on the inside stayed on the inside. But he was also there to make sure that what was on the outside stayed on the outside. So when Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep, he was making a reference to the shepherd sitting in that little opening right there. And nothing came in and nothing went out except that the shepherd approved it. I want you to understand that God has given this church the gift of a shepherd who is a pastor who stands in the gap. He sits in the gap. He's not here to be mean. He's not here to be petty. He's not here just to push his authority around. But there's something on the heart of our pastor that says, wait a minute. I got to make sure that everything that's in the fold stays in the fold. And I got to make sure that what doesn't belong in the fold stays on the outside of the fold. I'm thankful that God loves us enough to give us a pastor that cares enough to keep out what doesn't belong in, to keep in what should be in. Oh, church, I need a pastor. Would you stand with me across this room? I know this is not the kind of message I normally preach here. I understand that. Musicians, I appreciate so much, but I'm gonna back you up because I'm gonna do something different. I appreciate so much, but I'm just we're not gonna do any music right now. And I appreciate your willingness to be here so quickly. I'm sorry, I should have said something a little bit ahead. But we're gonna do something different. How many thankful God's given this city a church?
Amen.
How many thankful God's given this church a pastor?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many know your pastor loves you?
Amen.
Your pastor cares about you?
Amen.
How many know when he preaches something over this pulpit that doesn't necessarily line up with everything that you want to hear, you know that he's preaching it for your own good. He's preaching it because he loves you. He's preaching it because he cares about you. He preaches it because he wants to see you become everything that God has promised you to be.
Amen.
Sister Morris, I don't know if this is going to work well. I really wanted everybody to gather around and pray for our pastor and his wife before we finished out this service. I'm so sorry I did. I know it's going to make life a little bit difficult. But we have a responsibility to our pastor. Amen. You know, sometime in February, somebody needs to just text the pastor and say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. See, why February?
Because it's not October.
See, it's easy for us to do that when we're being specifically reminded of it. But we need to spend every day some time in prayer. Pray a hedge of protection around your pastor, around his family. Folks, they're under attack even if they don't understand where the attack's coming from. They're under attack. Amen. And while I was standing there, I said, well, I don't know why Brother Boris acts that way, or why he did that. Or, no, I'm going to say, God, my man of God is under attack, and I'm praying for him today. God, something just, you know, I mean, this is probably kind of a surprise, but I've known Brother Morris just long enough to figure out he's human. I know some of y'all think he's still a superhero, but he's got a human. That means there's moments when he gets frustrated, moments when he gets discouraged. It's hard for you to think of that when you're talking much faster. How many of you have moments where you get frustrated? The rest of you are liars. How many? Just call it like it is. Reprove, rebuke. How many of you have moments you get discouraged? Your pastor's carrying that same weight. But listen, when God gives Brother and Sister Morris to us, we have a responsibility. We go to you. I know you probably don't want to come all the way up here, but.
Yes.
You want us to get you a chair, too? I want us to do this. And please be very cautious if you're on this side. But I want us in closing to do this. I want us to gather around our pastor and his wife. I want us to just, if you're where you can, reach up and lay hands on them. If you can't, lay hands on somebody that's laying hands on them. And we are going to pray over them together. Come all the way around. Amen. I'm just going to give you a minute. I want you to just gather in as many as you can, pull up as close as you can. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Amen. There's lots of room over here. Someone wants to cut through a seat and come around this way. Amen. We've got a lot of people hung in the back there because they can't get up here. Amen. Let's get everybody up here. Many people want to get up around this area. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's gather in. Amen, amen. Lord God, we thank you this day because you've given us the gift of a great pastor and his wife. Thank you, Lord God, for their example before us. Thank you, God, for their love for your word and for these people, Lord. God, I thank you that you've given us people who will instruct us in knowledge and understanding, Lord. God, you've given us men and women, God, who will not only talk, tell us, but will live in God, who will be an example, God, and model before us, Lord God, what it means to be a man of God, to be a woman of God. Lord, we're committing ourselves, God, to be good stewards of the gifts that you have given us, Lord. God, we thank you for them, God. We appreciate so much all that you have done for us, God, through this man, through this woman, God, through their leadership in this house, Lord. God, I ask you now in the name of Jesus, God. Come on, church, let's pray together. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, pour out a little bit of intercession going on right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 God. Lord, for their family, God, I'm asking the Lord, protect them, keep your hand upon them, God. Draw them, Lord God, to your spirit, Lord. God, may we all, God, in this house, have a closer walk with you, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, we pray your protection upon them, Lord. In Jesus' name. finances, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, pour out of Lord them abundantly, Lord. Hallelujah. That's it, church. Come on, that's it. Amen. Let a prayer meeting break out right now. Let a Holy Ghost prayer meeting break out in this place right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh.